This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. I'm Michael Monks. Longtime Channel 12 news anchor Cammy Durking retired from the station at the end of last year, ending a TV career that began as Cincinnati's first woman sportscaster back in 1988. She now returns to athletics, which is in her blood, as the daughter of famed Cincinnati Royals basketball player Connie Durking. She's run 20 marathons and competed in 3 Ironman triathlons, and now she's a personal trainer. And she also happens to be in the studio with us today. Joining Cincinnati Edition is Cammy Durking. Cammy, thanks so much.
Thank you so much for having me. It's good to see you.
It's good to see you, too. We're so glad to hear you and see you. And I know that our audience, who watched you for many years on television, also excited to see you as well. And we invite the audience who's listening to give us a call and ask Cammy a question or offer a comment, pay your tribute, or ask some fitness tips, as I plan to do at some point in this interview. 513-419-7100 is our number. You can email talk@wvxu.org or find us on Facebook or Twitter. We'll look for your comments and your tweets there and try to get some of those into the show as well. Cammy, let's just start with how you're doing. We haven't seen you on television in about a month and a half, almost 2 months, I suppose. How are you?
I could not be better. Thank you for asking. Life is good.
Life is good in retirement because it's not, for you anyway, a stoppage of anything. You've gone into something new.
No, I have stolen a term from Bill Butler from Corporex, said to me, it's not retirement, it's rewirement. And he's absolutely right. I've just kind of changed course, and I'm just having a ball. This is the next chapter.
And we're going to talk about that next chapter coming up. You're doing some personal training at the Five Seasons. It sounds like, as we were talking before we went on the air, that, my goodness, you've got busy weeks full of different types of workouts. And we do have a question about that coming up. But let's go back to the 80s. Wouldn't that be fun to do?
Let's do it.
Yeah. 1988, you arrived on the media scene as the first female sportscaster. I know that wasn't your first job, but it was certainly high profile and significant. Take us back to that period and what that experience was like for you.
Well, I'm Cincinnati born and raised, and started my career in radio in Butler County at WMOH Radio, and then went on to Sports Time Cable, also in Cincinnati. It was a regional cable network. So I kind of got my feet wet in broadcasting, but not on air in Cincinnati. Then went out to Raleigh, North Carolina and Reno, Nevada, and did television in both of those markets before I came back here in 88. And you know, I always, always loved sports. That was my thing growing up. I was a jock. And some folks in Cincinnati might remember my dad, Connie Durking. He played basketball for the University of Cincinnati back in the day with Oscar Robertson. And then he went on to play in the NBA for 14 years. And so, you know, growing up in our family, we all played sports. I mean, we're all tall. Dad was 6'10", so I'm 6 feet. So, of course, I played basketball and volleyball and softball, but I really gravitated towards swimming. That's what I did in college. So I was always kind of into sports myself, but then I also was a spectator and lover of sports. And I guess I give my dad credit for that. You know, we'd watch games together. And when I was in my teenage years, I would actually go with him when he would do color commentary for the UC Bearcat games for Channel 19. And I'd either sit in the production truck and kind of watch him make the magic, or I might sit beside him at the scorer's table and help keep stats. And I fell in love with it. And I thought, this is what I want to do for life. I want to do TV sports. And it didn't really honestly occur to me or matter to me that there weren't many other women in sports at that time. It was just something I loved and I really wanted to do. And I was fortunate enough to get my start here in Cincinnati. Well, actually more in Reno, Nevada. I was the first female sportscaster in the state of Nevada too, and then came to Cincinnati and was the first in the state of Ohio. And honestly, I didn't think back then, oh, gee, I'm a pioneer. It was just kind of, I was doing what I loved.
Really? So you blazed a trail on two sides of the country, and it seems like that wasn't even a consideration for you. You just wanted it, and so you went for it.
I did. And I guess, you know, I probably studied harder and worked harder at it than a lot of my male counterparts, because there were doubters out there, of course, male and female, you know, and I wanted to prove that I, you know, I knew what I was talking about and that I was worthy of that position. And it paid off because I was able to do that for many years, and I just enjoyed the heck out of it.
Was Channel 12 specifically looking to bring in a woman sportscaster, or was this just a general inquiry and you saw the opportunity and applied for it? And did this come up about any potential challenges you might face on the air as a woman presenting the sports report?
Honestly, I don't remember it ever coming up. And I don't think that they were looking specifically for a woman because, frankly, there were only a few in the country at that time. I think they liked the fact that I was from Cincinnati, you know, born and raised. And of course, my dad played many of his pro years with the Cincinnati Royals. So a lot of people, you know, of that age, you know, knew dad and knew the name. And that certainly helped.
I wanted to ask you about that because, you know, it's not a nepotism thing. You obviously put in work to earn credibility outside of this market and some smaller local media outlets before you arrived at Channel 12. And we had one of your former colleagues as well, recently retired from Channel 12, Rob Braun, on, who
I
had a similar
him.
Perspective,
yeah.
Right? Because he had a famous dad
right.
here in Cincinnati, who was also a well-known broadcaster, Bob Braun,
right.
and had to talk about earning his own way mm-hmm. into the business. Can you talk a little bit about that, whether it helped or if it was a bit of a hindrance because you had the name of a famous man in the community?
I would say that it helped more than anything. And Rob and I have talked about it before, you know, having dads that were both sort of, you know, celebrities in Cincinnati. It was a great way for us to grow up and see how our dads handled that fame, that celebrity. And I think they were both the same. They both had strong work ethics, our fathers. And, you know, to them, it was just a part of the job that you were recognized or, you know, people asked for your autograph or whatever. And you didn't make a fuss about it. It wasn't a big deal. It never went to your head. It was just part of the job that people would recognize you. And my dad, and I'm sure that Bob Braun, you know, raised his kids the same way, that no matter if it's the janitor or the CEO of a company, you treat everyone with kindness and respect. And you stop and make time for people. And so those were great lessons for me. And when I kind of, you know, got to a certain point in my career where I was starting to be recognized and people were coming up asking for my autograph or whatever, I remembered how Dad brought us up. And that was a great lesson for me, I think.
This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. I'm Michael Monks. Today I'm joined by Cammie Dierking, whom you remember from Channel 12, recently retired at the end of 2019, now rewired as an athletic trainer at five
like
seasons.
It.
Yeah, so we're going to talk more about that coming up. We're also taking phone calls. We've got a few people on the line already. We're going to get to you if you're on hold. But if you want to join us, 513-419-7100. I want to talk about you being a woman covering sports, mm-hmm. particularly in that early period. Was there any challenge out in the field in gaining credibility with the sports teams, the different types of people? Was there any awkwardness in, you know, there's locker room opportunities,
yeah.
right? And this must
sure.
have been a novelty here in Cincinnati.
Sure.
How do we handle this situation?
Yeah. You know, I honestly never had any really bad negative experiences. But having said that, I mean, this was new ground. We were breaking new ground in a lot of areas. And so, for instance, I can remember going to the locker room, not in the locker room, but at Xavier University. I think it was Pete Gillen back then who was the coach. I think it was. And I remember, you know, asking, would it be okay if I came in? Because, of course, my male colleagues were going in to interview the players. And it was kind of decided on the fly, you know, why don't you tell us who you'd like to talk to and we'll bring them out kind of into the hallway. You know, it was just, like I said, it wasn't discrimination or anything like that. It was just, this had never happened before, and how do we handle it? Same deal with the Bengals. And Sam Weish was the coach back then, and he couldn't have been, you know, nicer, kinder. Same thing. He made an offer to me. He said, if you would like to come into the locker room, it's okay. You know, I'm not going to stop you. However, it might make the players a little uncomfortable. We'd be happy to bring them out to you if you would like. So they were making accommodations for me, and it was really nice. And I really didn't have any negative experiences in that regard.
Why don't we take some phone calls?
Sure.
From some of your fans.
I'd love it.
513-419-7100 is the number if you'd like to join us. Let's go to the phones now. I don't have the name of this caller, so if you've got me dialed up. I understand you've known Cammie since she was 8. Please go ahead with
Uh-oh.
Your question or comment.
Who is it?
Uh-oh, it's your birthday twin.
Oh, hi there.
Hey, lady.
It's good to talk to you. This is Pam, right?
Well, of course.
Oh,
actually, it's one of three of the birthday triplets, but
yes, we used to always celebrate our birthdays together in grade school. How have you been?
I'm good, but I'm so excited for you.
Well, thank you. Thank you so much.
Challenges. And if there's anybody out there, we can talk about stories of Camp Claybank.
Now, listen, we're going to keep quiet about some of Cammie's adventures when she was young, Pam. Come on now.
Pam, it sounds
now,
like...
I tell people that I've known Cammie since before there was a man on the moon, but I'm only 39.
You're hilarious.
Pam, we do appreciate you calling in. I'm sure that Cammie will look forward to hearing from you again soon.
Great to talk to you. Bye-bye, Pam.
Thank you so much for that call, 513-419-7100. Let's go to Andrew. Hi, Andrew. What's your question or comment?
Hi, I just wanted to say, Cammie, thank you so much for all you've done for the city. I watched your final episode on Channel 12, and, you know, wish you all the best in the future, and, you know, just really appreciate, again, all you've done. And Mike, Michael, thank you for the show. I'm a huge fan.
Andrew, we appreciate that.
Thank you, Andrew. That's so kind. I really appreciate it. It was a great last day. John Lomax came out on the set and everything in the evening. It was wonderful. Thank you, Andrew.
Yeah, we appreciate that. Please join our conversation, 513-419-7100. Cammie Dierking, recently retired from Channel 12, is our guest today. Started as the first woman sportscaster in the Cincinnati market back in 1988. And Cammie, you transitioned to news.
Mm-hmm.
From sports.
Right.
Talk about that decision and whether it was one that you were excited about.
It was. You know, I did sports for, I'm going to say, maybe 5 or 6 years here in Cincinnati, and then got married and started having children. And it was tough to keep doing sports because it involved a lot of nights, a lot of weekends, some travel. And that was tough when I had young kids. So it just so happened right around that time there was an opening on the morning show. And so I talked to the news director and said, I think this is something I might be interested. What do you think? And it just happened to work out. And I had 13 wonderful years as the morning co-host with John Lomax, Good Morning Cincinnati, and Steve Horsmeyer did our weather. And we were quite the team. We had a lot of fun. We even spent a few years doing the show live from Fountain Square.
Oh, yeah, of course.
Yeah, that was a lot of fun. So, yeah, did that for 13 years. And then... you know, moved to the evening show with Rob Braun and did that for about another dozen. So, yeah, been on a lot of different positions at Channel 12, but loved every second.
All these names that you've just rattled off, John Lomax, Steve Horsmeyer, Rob Braun,
yep.
From this era, the past 3 decades, mm-hmm. You know, these are some of the big names. And you're among those big names.
Oh,
I mean,
what
does that mean to you? You know, as someone who broke into this scene in sort of a trailblazing way and managed to establish herself as a very serious journalist and a well-respected, well-liked personality as well on the broadcast. What do you think about that?
Well, thank you for saying all that. And I honestly feel like I'm one of the luckiest people in the world. I mean, here I am, a Cincinnati kid, you know, and I had dreams of one day being on TV in Cincinnati. And wow. I did it, you know, and I'm here with family and friends, you know, watching me is so cool. And I was able to raise my children here in this wonderful community that we have. It feels amazing. I feel such gratitude. I miss my coworkers like you can't believe. They were family. You know how that is. You know, you work with someone all those years, you get to know them so well. So I feel proud and I feel so, so grateful.
I think the feeling must be mutual. We did talk to someone a little earlier, and they were kind enough to record a little interview. We've got some sound from that.
Okay.
I love Cammie Dierking. Cammie is absolutely
John.
My best friend. she is just a wonderful person to know and to work with. We worked together for 13 years, side by side, hip to hip, and it was the best 13 years of my career. And I work with wonderful people now, but it was special with Cammie. And Cammie is what you see is what you get. Cammie was authentic. That's what I would say. And when it came to people who had a story to tell that would make the community better, her heart was as big as the studio. It just gave her great joy to provide a platform for people who were making life better for everyone. I think Cammie intrinsically knew, based on some events that had happened in her own life, how happiness is so much more preferable to sadness. Cammie is a notorious, practical joker. Just notorious. April 1st is her favorite holiday, she likes to call it. So we used to have the Associated Press machines that printed paper. But you could go into the computer and you could change certain things so that it looked as if the Associated Press had actually printed things and it didn't. So she printed out numbers that we had all bought together on the morning show. It was one of the big jackpots, and all of us had gone in together to buy tickets. And she went in and she changed the numbers on the Associated Press copy that we got that she could pass around. She could print it and pass it around. And showing, I think we won the big lottery and that sort of thing. And she just absolutely got so tickled that she was able to fool people with that.
Oh, my goodness. So I'm laughing and crying.
I can tell you're tearing up. That, of course, was Channel 12 Good Morning Cincinnati anchor John Lomax. Bit of a prankster you are, I guess.
Yes, John, I'm going to get you. That was fun. It was a lot of fun, except everyone really thought we won. They were jumping up and down and screaming. They thought they were multimillionaires, and I finally had to come clean.
That's such a terrible prank to pull.
Let me just tell you, John Lomax is one of the greatest people I've ever known, one of the smartest, funniest, most genuine, wonderful people, and I love him to death. We had such a good time over those 13 years, and we went through a lot together. He was referring to, I lost my mom when she was 50, and then I lost a daughter to SIDS. And I had John right there with me through the whole thing. I don't know what I would have done without him. I love John. If you're listening, I love you, buddy.
It's a special kind of workplace relationship, isn't it? When you're presenting a television show, doing the news, as hard as a job there is, maybe tell us a little bit about that, about the relationship you develop, whether it be with John or with Rob Braun when you moved to the other day part.
Yeah, I mean, I call them my TV husbands because we did spend a lot of time together. And, you know, obviously in the news, you're reading some pretty depressing things sometimes. You know, you're talking about disasters and crime and, you know, child abuse, sex abuse, horrible things. And I think because of that, when there is an opportunity to maybe lighten up, you really jump on board, you know. And so like during commercial breaks, we would tell jokes and, you know, just kind of pick each other up. And I liken it to the whole MASH phenomenon, you know, where the surgeons would joke over the operating table because in so many cases, if they didn't laugh, they were going to cry, you know. And that's kind of how it was. And how we got through a lot of the really tough stuff is by leaning on each other and laughing when we could, you know.
This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. I'm Michael Monks. We're joined live in the studio today by Cammie Dierking, the recently retired Channel 12 news anchor. We're going to talk a little bit about her next chapter, which is already underway. She's an athletic trainer at Five Seasons. I want to note a couple of things. We do have inside information from Channel 12 on occasion because our associate producer, Selena Reeder, spent some time as an employee
of
Channel 12 as well. And she said that the production crew got back at you for that lottery prank you pulled. Can you tell us what they did?
They found my car keys in my office and then parked the car about five blocks away and told me it was somewhere in the neighborhood. And it took me about an hour and a half to find my car. They got me.
I think that was well-deserved.
Yes.
And I also want to note that John Lomax told us, in addition to the sound that we used here in the broadcast, that the two of you say, I love you every time you see each other.
We do. Yeah. And in fact, if one of us is flying out of town, we would either send an email or leave a post-it on each other's door or, you know, a text to each other saying, I love you, just in case, because we experienced 9/11 together. We were on the air that morning when it happened, and it profoundly affected us. And so we just decided then and there, anytime we were, you know, going to fly anywhere or be on vacation, whatever, we'd always make sure to say, I love you.
Wow.
Yeah.
513-419-7100 is the number to join our conversation. I may have some trouble pronouncing your name. Is it Shanayan? Shannon?
Shania.
Okay. There's an extra N on there. That's an accident on our part. I would have gotten Shania. I'm a Shania Twain fan.
Me too.
I apologize. Okay, Shania, welcome. Cammie is listening. What's your question or comment?
I have a comment, and I am so excited to just get to talk to you. Back in 2004, I was working at U.S. Bank, and we were having some kind of in-office treasure hunt. I was in the lending department, and I don't know if you can remember this, but we had to get a signature from a TV anchor or news personality, and you actually faxed in your signature to me, and we won because
of it. Oh, good.
Yes, and you didn't have to do that, but we did. And I didn't think, I mean, this means so much to me. I didn't even think we were going to pull it off. I was like, there's no way a TV anchor or news personality is going to take part in just something that just really, you know, it's not really that big of a deal. But you did.
Oh, so Shania.
Yes, and that was it was so many years ago, and I was like, I'm never going to get to talk to her to tell her that I would, and I just cannot believe this opportunity happened. So I wanted to say thank you, Cammie, so much.
You are so sweet, and you are so welcome, and that was an easy thing to do. But thank you so much for calling in and saying that and sharing the story.
Shania, yes, thank you so much for the call. That was very good. That's a viewer of yours who got you to participate in a what sounds like a scavenger hunt that was more than 15 years ago, and they still remember that.
That's nice.
And I have to say that now that we've had references to fax machines and MASH during this broadcast, if that gives any indication of just the amount of time that you got to spend in people's lives.
Yes.
But the technology has changed, and I can tell you that John Lomax, your previous morning co-anchor and dear friend still, is very good at Twitter. Do you participate?
Okay, so full disclosure, I had to do Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, all that when I worked at Channel 12. I'm not a social media fan, and I don't mean any disrespect or no judgment at all for those who do enjoy it. I never did. I'm old school. It just wasn't my thing. It just felt wrong to me. I didn't like it. So the day I left Channel 12, I have not done any social media. I don't intend to do any more ever. It's just not my thing. And guess what? Life is so much better for me without it.
I have to say, at the risk of alienating any people who are fans on social, I am so jealous that you are able to avoid that because it can be quite toxic.
I mean, and if you have to do it for a living, which I had to do for many years, I think that's another element.
Absolutely. So. No question about that at all. You did spend a lot of time as a journalist, and we've talked a little bit about some of the people who factored into your career and then into your personal life. And during this period of recent years, a lot of those big names from Channel 12 have retired as well. And so I'm curious about your perspective of that institution and its own shift now that we've lost names like yours or Rob Braun or Deb Dixon or Jeff Hirsch or
Joe Webb,
my good buddy, Joe Webb. Yes. I mean, so many good names have left. What was the newsroom like as all of this experience was packing up, as calling it a day?
You know, it's always hard to when your buddies move on, but you know, I stayed in touch with a lot of them. I had lunch with Larry Davis the other day.
Oh,
Rich
Larry
Jaffe
Davis,
and I are
Rich
always
Jaffe.
Texting. And so, you know, we stay in touch, you know, because we were friends first before we were coworkers. But it was sad to lose that experience and leadership in the newsroom as each person, you know, moved on to something else. But guess what? We've got a lot of really wonderful people, younger people, you know, in that newsroom now who are working hard. And they, I adored the younger people that I worked with. They helped me with technology because, of course, I was terrible. Social media. I mean, they were just terrific and they are doing a great job. And so, you know, I just think it's a natural kind of progression. You know, you've been there a long time, you move on, and then the younger crowd takes over and it's all good.
But what a golden age for Cincinnati media, particularly in Channel 12's newsroom, to have the type of veteran journalist inside there.
Yeah.
And a lot of other stations didn't in this market didn't necessarily have that much institutional knowledge.
Yeah. It was great. I can't say enough about the people that I work with, and they are legendary, you know, people like Rob Braun and, you know, Jeff Hirsch, Joe Webb, Debbie Dixon. I mean, they're wonderful people first, but they're awesome journalists, you know, and they came up in journalism at a time when it was big J journalism, you know. So I feel very fortunate to have worked beside all of them.
513-419-7100 is the number. Let's go back to the phones. We have Lynn on the line. Hi, Lynn. What's your question or comment?
I just wanted to thank Cammie. I started running 5Ks quite late in my life. Anyway, you were always downtown. You were always so positive and so very sweet, and you always showed up very encouraging. You know, such an inspiration. I've gone on and done many marathons, many half marathons, and just I want to thank you for that. You know?
Aww. Good for you, Lynn.
And for being so positive. Michael, I like your show a lot. And Anyway, good luck, Cammie. I hope everything works out. I'm sure it will work out for you, but good luck for you and congratulations.
Thank you so much, Lynn. That is so kind. I loved being honorary chair or starter of a lot of different races and things. I mean, that was a big part of my job, too. I was an ambassador for the station, and I always kind of gravitated toward the sporting events, and it was a lot of fun. I met a lot of wonderful people over the years.
And Lynn, thank you very much for the compliment to our show as well. Totally not necessary. It's a show about Cammie today, but we do appreciate you listening and calling in. Well, let's talk about athletics.
Okay.
Because that's where you are now. You were an athlete growing up. You're the daughter of Connie Dierking, famed UC player and Cincinnati Royals, mm-hmm. and 14 years, you said, in the NBA.
Yeah.
I mean, just an incredible career and a well-known local person. What was your favorite sport growing up? Because it wasn't basketball?
Well, yeah, to watch, of course. I love to watch my dad play basketball. But for me to do, it would be swimming, of course. Yeah, I was a swimmer all through school. I swam AAU, swam for school, swam in college. And then more recently, I've been doing the triathlons and I've done those three Ironmans. So
you
I
say
love
more
swim.
Recently. So like what period in your life did you decide to try Ironman or triathlons?
You know, my husband ran marathons. Like he's the real deal. I'm just like in the slow old lady division. But my husband like qualified for Boston and everything. So I started going to marathons with him and watching. And I thought, well, this is boring standing on the sidelines. I think I'll do this too. So I started getting into marathons. And then that just kind of morphed into the triathlons because I'm a decent swimmer and I got into cycling. And so it's just, it was probably when I was in my 40s, I'd say, when I really started getting into it because the kids were a little bit older. So I didn't feel so bad taking time away from them. And I just do them to finish them, Michael. I don't, you know, I'm not trying to win any races or anything.
But that's an accomplishment in and of itself.
It is. I mean, an Ironman, you get 17 hours to finish. And I was finishing like in the 16-hour range. So that ought to give you an idea of how slow. But you
but
know
I
what?
Heard
it's
once
not
you,
about that.
You broke a toe or something.
I did, yeah. Boy, you have some sources. I was doing the Ironman Coeur d'Alene. And during the swim, it's so. For those who don't know Ironman, it's a 2.4-mile swim, 112-mile bike ride, and then a full marathon, 26.2 miles. Okay, so in the swim, it's been likened to like a human washing machine because you start at the same time with, you know, 2,000 people. So everybody's just churning in the water and arms are flying and punches are being thrown. And I kicked really hard and because somebody was trying to swim over the top of me and I kicked the guy behind me in the face in his goggles.
Oh, my gosh.
I didn't mean to. But anyway, I broke my toe and I had to drag my leg pretty much for the rest of the swim. And I finished that Ironman in 1641 with a broken toe. I mean, during the marathon portion, I had to sort of limp through on the inside of my foot. It was crazy. But
well, I was also told that while you were injured, you managed to wheel yourself into a gym and still get your workouts in.
Of course. You know, I've had two knee replacements and a hip replacement. But, you know, never let it slow me down.
It's one question we got from one of our listeners on Twitter. Sarah Colin tweeted at us, where does she get all that energy?
Aw. Well, Sarah, I don't know. I guess part of it is that I'm just a naturally energetic, positive person. And I feed off the energy around me. You know, I surround myself with a lot of wonderful, positive people. And, you know, I don't know. Life is good. I'm just happy. I have all good things happening in my life. I'm so grateful for, you know, health, my health, my family's health. And I just feel good.
Well, we will get a couple more calls in if we can, and then let you get back to your rewirement. Let's go to the phones now. We have Dennison on the line. Hi, Dennison.
Hi. Hey, Cammie.
Hi, Dennison.
This is Dennison Keller.
I knew
it. The local sports anchor. Yeah.
No, well, he was a reporter with us for a lot of years.
Okay. Dennison, how are you?
And I'm great, and I sat next to Cammie's desk for about 7 or 8 years. And, you know, television personalities develop a persona, and I think Cammie's is always kindness. So Aww. Much so, and just like your former caller alluded to, you kind of wonder, is that real? Can she be that energetic? Can she be that kind? And I'm here to tell you, because I witness it every day, that the answer is yes, unequivocally. It's not an act. And, you know, if you think about in the context of that business, there are a lot of ambitious people. There are a lot of egos. There are a lot of climbers. They're waiting to pounce on folks' flaws, particularly when you rise to the level that Cammie did. And I can tell you that not one time ever have I ever heard anybody say anything negatively about Cammie Dierking, because she is that kind to everybody. And if you leave that business with that kind of legacy, there can be no better legacy than that, Cammy.
All right, now I'm starting to cry again, Dennis. And thank you so much. You are so sweet, and I adore you. And Teresa and the three amigos, I love you. Thank you for saying all those wonderful things.
Dennison, thank you so much for the call. Aww. That was awesome. So good to hear from another one of your colleagues.
I know, I love him.
Very cool. But now you're in a new industry,
and
I know we're running out of time. You've been too generous already with your time. You're a personal trainer at the Five Seasons on the Cincinnati side.
I am. Five Seasons Family Sports Club has locations both in Crestview Hills, Kentucky, in Cincinnati, and then also Dayton and Chicago. And I work hard every day to help people stay fit and active. I have about 7 clients now, so still trying to kind of build up the clientele. And we do everything from lifting weights. We do some cardio, you know, a little Pilates.
But how many are you teaching each day or week? How often are you in there doing one of these classes?
I usually have a couple clients a day, and then
one-on-one.
Yeah, one-on-one. But then I also teach classes. This morning I taught spinning. I've done mat Pilates class, a body sculpt class, and I'm just sort of subbing now, but getting ready to start maybe doing some classes of my own. Five Seasons is one of those wonderful environments where it's not intimidating. It's not like a musclehead gym. It's like a family sports club, and they have social, they have tennis. That's a big part of their, you know, what they do. You know, you can dine there. They have a spa there. You know, you get your hair cut there, get a massage, and it's just a really neat environment, a warm, friendly, open environment. And I've been working out there since they opened back in 2001 as a member. And so when it came time for rewirement, it was easy to decide what to do next, an easy transition. Fitness is something I would do every day anyway, but now I get to share it with other people, and it's been fantastic.
That's so great. Let me be selfish with our last 30 seconds and say it's still early in the new year. People are maybe shifting gears on their workout plan.
Yes.
I'm a working out kind of guy. Mm-hmm. I've made a lot of progress in the past year. I've plateaued. What's your quick advice for somebody who's hit a plateau and wants to knock those last 5 or so pounds off to be where they want to be?
I would say try to find a buddy, an accountability buddy that you can work out with and get you there. And I would also say shake it up. Try something new and different that you've never done before. You know, maybe train for a triathlon, you know, maybe take a dance class, whatever. You can always find something different to shake it up and keep you going.
Cammy Dierking, newly rewired as a physical fitness professional at the Five Seasons. You remember her for more than 3 decades from local television news on Channel 12. Cammy, thanks so much. This was great. We really appreciate your time.
It was my pleasure. Thank you so much. And thanks to all the nice callers, too. That was wonderful.
So glad to have you. Hope to talk again soon. You've been listening to Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. The producer for today's show is Elise Meckler. The assistant producer is Selena Reeder. The technical director is Josh Elstro. Subscribe to our podcast at WVXU.org. I'm Michael Monks.